Welcome to Food for Thought, the place to explore, celebrate, and manifest a life motivated and defined by unconditional compassion and optimal wellness. My name is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau, and I'm your host. The mission in my work is to empower people to manifest their values of compassion and wellness in their everyday lives. I'm the author of The Joy of Vegan Baking, The Vegan Table, Color Me Vegan, Vegan's Daily Companion, On Being Vegan, and the upcoming The 30-Day Vegan Challenge. The new book is slated for a January 2015 release, and the online program is still going strong. You can find all the information there at 30dayveganchallenge.com. You can learn more about who I am and what I do by visiting my website, joyfulvegan.com. I'm telling you that as a preview of what's to come. The new website will be up soon, and to make all our lives easier in terms of remembering the website and not spelling my name and sharing it with others, especially sharing it with others, part of the new brand we talked about is going to be such that joyfulvegan.com is just the website name. So to make it easier, joyfulvegan.com, please share the website with everyone you know. Thank you to today's compassionate business partner, a returning sponsor, very generous, wonderful sponsor, Karen Cunningham of Arbonne. And her website is karencunningham.myarbonne.com. I'm going to spell her last name for you, C-U-N-N-I-N-G-H-A-M. It's probably Cunningham is probably the proper way to say it. But karencunningham.myarbonne.com. Arbonne, as you may know, offers 400 botanically based skin health and wellness products from sustainable sources, combining the best of green science with the finest botanicals. And it has been offering vegan certified products since 1975. I was just a wee lass in 1975, and they've been offering vegan certified products since then. Every raw ingredient is tested for purity. There are no GMO ingredients, and they use no artificial or harmful ingredients. If you have not tried Arbonne products, it is time to start. They're so fantastic. If you've tried them in the past and need to reorder, you can purchase them directly from Karen at karencunningham.myarbonne.com. And I was thinking, because I'm going to put this up on my website, you can go there if you didn't write that down. And when you mention this podcast, and you should, you receive a 20% discount on your first order. Pretty awesome. And orders over $150 will receive a full 20% discount for the year, is also awesome. And you can host a healthy living or a skincare class by contacting Karen through karencunningham.myarbonne.com. I love Arbonne. I love Karen's commitment to compassionate living. So thank you so much, Karen. And thank you to all of the listeners who support this podcast. In the last podcast episode, I told you about Patreon, the new service we're using for sponsorship, or more accurately, for patronage. Head over to patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGoudreau to see my video and all of the great levels and perks for supporting this important work. Charlie is in the video, one of my cats, and he's so fantastic. He is such a born entertainer. He loves to be the center of everything, and you're going to see for yourself how adorable he is. His timing was perfect, because he heard everything I was saying, and he wanted you to make sure you knew he was listening. You'll see all the perks yourself when you go to patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGoudreau. But just to give you an idea of what some of the perks are for sponsors, you will get transcripts of the podcast, past and present. You get free subscriptions to the 30-Day Vegan Challenge online program. You get the ebook of On Being Vegan. You can participate in regular video chats with me and so much more. And in exchange, you're supporting this work, certainly this podcast. I can continue this podcast with your support. I can possibly do it more frequently. But more than that, it's really supporting everything I'm doing here. All of you ask for so much more from me, which I get and I appreciate. And I expect so much more from me. I want to travel and speak to audiences all around the world, including in your city. I want to reach out to at-risk youth in inner cities, specifically starting in my city in Oakland, and bring them the message of compassion, connect them with animals that they've never had the opportunity to see before or touch before. I want to teach them how to make healthful, compassionate decisions. I want to teach them how to cook healthfully. I want to travel around the country, especially to parts of the country in the middle of the country and in the South, and do mobile cooking classes to teach people how to cook with vegetables, because people don't even know what to do with vegetables. And I want them to be able to learn these tools so they can stop eating animals. There's so much I can do, and with your help, I can do it. If you want me to spend my time going to find the right contact to have a TV show in the old school way, where maybe I get in line to figure out how I can find the right producer or production company or studio to back my work, and maybe they won't want to change it, or maybe they will, and I lose control and I don't get to say what I want to say. If you want me to do that, I can. If you want me to go and continue to find the right, you know, another publisher to do another book, and maybe they'll change it and tell me to say something differently, and I won't get to have all control over it. Or if you want me to just do what I do and do it well and do it bigger and better, I need you. I don't need them. And you've known that for years. You've already been supporting me, but if you want me to bump this up and you want me to continue this, then I need your support. And it's not that much. I've added the $5 a month back because I can do some really fun things with this Patreon service. $5 a month is 15 cents a day, right? $10 a month, you get more perks, 33 cents a day. Put 33 cents a day in a basket or a bucket or a jar, and you can help support this work. $1.66 a day is $50 a month. If you're all doing this accumulatively, I can do the most amazing things. $3 a day, $3 a day. So $3 a day, that's $100 a month. You're a platinum member. You're getting amazing benefits back, but you're also helping me do the work that you all care about. If you go over to Patreon, you'll see some other wonderful creators. These are musicians, these are artists, these are content creators like myself. They're doing so many amazing things. One of them is this wonderful newsreader. He is getting over $11,000 in support a month from just his listeners. And he's reading the news. He's summarizing the news of the day. Now, that's great and important and awesome. I want to change the world, and I'm trying to do it through my work. So imagine if all of you collectively put in your $5, $10, $15, $50, $100, whatever it is, a month, that would enable me to do this, to travel, to bump things up, to hire the right people to help me get my work out into the media. That's what we're talking about. And so if it's worth it to you, if $3 a day is worth it to you and you and you and you to help me do this, then I need you to go to patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGaudreau.com. And by the way, if you are a current member, you need to switch over, because I'm going to lose your support. Once the new website goes live, I'm going to lose your support, and I don't want to do that. And I know you don't want to do that. So please help me continue this work and go to patreon.com. Our newest patron at what is essentially our platinum level, and we'll continue that rhetoric because I think it really works and it's really familiar to all of us. At our platinum level, our platinum patron is Carol Morgan Cox, who sent the most beautiful email. This is the reason I am so grateful to do this work. Dear Colleen, this letter has been a long time coming, as I know many people say to you. I just listened to your most recent podcast where you mentioned the new sponsorship opportunities on Patreon. So that was the final nudge I needed to sit down, write this letter, and become a monthly sponsor. Your work, especially your podcast, has been such an inspiration to me since I first found it in the fall of 2011. One day in August 2011, I remember waking up and telling myself that I did not want to eat or cook meat anymore. Until that point, I ate animal products at every meal. So this was a huge change for me. I had never been or even considered being a vegetarian at any point in my life. So I don't know what exactly brought this about. Perhaps I had a dream that I don't remember. I like to think it was my subconscious mind and heart leading me to where they knew I needed to go. Having no idea where to start with becoming vegetarian, I began doing research online to find recipes and get nutrition information. I watched Forks Over Knives and became vegan at that moment. However, my primary motivation at that point was health. Then I found your podcast on iTunes. I listened to several episodes and was transformed. I became vegan for the animals. Your sincerity, passion, and compassion are so evident in what you do and say. You've helped me find a sense of inner peace as well as my voice as I've struggled through the various stages, from outrage, guilt, and depression at the enormity of it all, to joyfulness at now being part of the solution. Thank you for your dedication to changing the world for animals. You've changed my world for the better, and I'm so grateful for that, Carol. So grateful to you, Carol. Thank you so much. I'm so moved and touched. I'm just so grateful. Thank you. We also have new gold patrons in Juliet Florian, Natasha Estrade, and Nat Denkin. Thank you so much for all of your support. And of course, we have our regular platinum patrons, Amy Muller, Peace Food Cafe Uptown, and Peace Food Cafe Downtown in New York City. That's peacefoodcafe.com. Thank you to U.S. Army Captain Janie Mena, Deborah McDowell, members of the Norwegian Vegan Society, Tim Anderson, David Cabrera, and Alexander Gray in New York City, Alexander Gray Associates, it's alexandergray.com, Kavitha, Carrie Parker, and now Carol Morgan Cox. And I'd love to list your name there as well. Related to today's topic, I need to thank our second compassionate business partner, and we're going to get started. Beauty Without Cruelty, beautywithoutcruelty.com. They are the first brand. The first brand to make cruelty-free, no animal testing an issue, starting in 1963. I wasn't even a wee lass then. I wasn't even around. But they're so amazing and so fabulous. Since 1963, they've been committed to cruelty-free products. They carry hair, skin, facial and body care products, as well as extensive range of color cosmetics. I love their stuff. I've known their stuff since I became vegan. Most people do, because how can you not find Beauty Without Cruelty as soon as you become vegan? Their entire line is certified vegan by the Vegan Society. And as we'll talk about in a bit, they're a licensee of the Leaping Bunny logo for cruelty-free products. And they're working with the Humane Society and others to promote cruelty-free natural cosmetics. For those who are sensitive, they have numerous gluten-free options. And for a limited time, they're offering 20% off. So go to joyfulvegan.com and get that code. You will see their graphic on every page of the website, joyfulvegan.com, and you will see the code 20% off, and then you'll go to beautywithoutcruelty.com and do your shopping. So thank you so much, beautywithoutcruelty.com. Well, hi, everybody, and thank you for all of that. I don't look at that introduction as a preview to the substance. To me, that's all substance as well, and I hope you feel the same way, because I want you to know who's supporting this work and the impact this work is having. So it's part of this whole message to you. But I hope you're having a lovely week. I'm making a point to record this before I go to Italy. We're going to Italy, leaving Friday. This is our first large, this is definitely our first European travel with CPG trip. And if all goes well, we're going to be doing more. So 23 people are signed up. I think 23 or 24 people are signed up to come to Italy with me and with David. And we'll be there for, oh my gosh, well, the whole trip, I'll be there for about 12 days. And I think I've just extended that from the trip with everybody. So I think the trip with everybody is about 8 days. And I'm very excited and I can't wait. And I'll tell you all about it when I come back. Peru is next on the list. So if you want to join me on a vegan trip to Machu Picchu, stay tuned, because you never know. It could happen. That's what I'm thinking about. But I want to focus this episode on personal care products based on a number of What Would Colleen Do questions I've received. So we're going to head right to our What Would Colleen Do segment and go right into a couple emails and calls, because they're the ones who inspired this episode. And certainly Beauty Without Cruelty and Arbon, they made perfect sponsors for this episode because of the topic. So the first email I have is from Sarah. Sarah wrote, "Hi, Colleen. First off, you always look so put together and beautiful," which is very lovely. She doesn't realize that the only photo she's going to see of me is when I look put together, because there are plenty of opportunities for me to take photos when I'm not put together, but you're never going to see those photographs. "Many times I've wondered, what's her makeup routine like, or what hairspray does she use? I'm in the process of veganizing my makeup collection and hairstyling products. Any product suggestions you have would be very much appreciated. Thank you so much, Sarah." Well, thank you, Sarah. And I hope this is still timely for you, because I realized that your email came in a few months ago, but I'm trying to get to everybody's questions. So I use a lot of different products here, and there are a gazillion cruelty-free products out there in the world. I'm just going to tell you what I do, because that was your question. Personally, I've never found one company in any category that serves all of my needs. And so I use a number of different products and different categories, you know, hair products and makeup and skincare from different companies. Now, I said earlier, Arbon and Beauty Without Cruelty both have fantastic skincare products. And I mean that. I'm only partnering with companies whose products I use and love. I'll tell you what I use in their lines and what I love in their lines. as we're going into these different categories. I love Beauty Without Cruelty's vitamin C with CoQ10. That's the one of the lotions that I use. And I love their facial wash. By far, it's my favorite facial wash. It's soft. It feels like you're washing your face with lotion, which you might not like that, but I love it because it's really soft and it's just really thorough. So I love Beauty Without Cruelty's facial wash. My other favorite skincare and cosmetics company, I'm going to be bouncing around here depending on the category, but my other favorite skincare company is 100% Pure, which makes all of the other skin moisturizers I use. One of my favorite things of theirs is their coffee bean eye cream, which is amazing. And you don't have to drink coffee to like their coffee bean cream, okay? Because I don't drink coffee. But as I've said to RJ at Timeless Cafe, it's the vegan coffee place here in Oakland, and I've said this before, I like the smell of roasting coffee beans. And I think some of you might know what I mean by that. I love that smell, but I don't want to drink the coffee. So the coffee bean cream from 100% Pure is unbelievable. The fragrance is so out of this world. If I could just put it under my nose, like a strip under my nose, and smell that all day long, I would just be in heaven all day long. A lot of my go-to cosmetics are from The Body Shop. One of my favorites is their, they have this glow cream. I always forget the name of it. I think if you just go to thebodyshop.com, there's this glow cream, and I use it kind of first to start off with when I'm putting my makeup on. And then at the end, it just creates a little glow. Really, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to make it sound like I spend a lot of time doing my hair and makeup. I hate the time I have to spend doing my hair and makeup. There is a secret. When someone says, could you tell us a secret no one knows about you? I would rather be doing 50 other things than shower and put my makeup on and do my hair. So it takes me about 5 minutes to do my makeup because I don't want to spend time doing my makeup. It takes me a little longer to do my hair because my hair is a pain. But so it's going to sound like I take a long time. And for all of you guys out there, just hang on, because I'm not going to spend that much time with this. But I love Body Shop's. I use their eyeshadow, their eyeliners, their blush, their bronzers. I don't use actual makeup like foundation. I don't even, like, I know there are a lot of people who use mineral foundation. I've tried it. I don't like it. I always feel like I'm wearing makeup. So I don't use makeup like a foundation. Once in a while I'll do it if I'm, you know, if it's nighttime or I'm doing a photo shoot, but I do use Body Shop's. I tend to use that as my foundation. It's very light, but I don't like to wear much. They also have a concealer, so I'll use that a little bit. I don't wear lipstick. Every time I try to wear lipstick, I just feel like I'm wearing lipstick, so I don't feel comfortable. But I wear lip balm because I always have to keep my lips moist. So LOV is one of my favorite lip balms. They're awesome, and it's a vegan-owned company. All of the ingredients are natural, and it's called lip butter, like coconut, hemp, sunflower, and macadamia oils. These are all the butters that are used for this lip butter, which is fantastic. So LOV. The other thing I use when I'm doing my makeup is Arbonne's makeup primer. And I put that on first. That's the way it's used. It's used as kind of like a base, but it's so silky. Literally, it feels like liquid silk. It's amazing. And I use that first. So I'll do like the makeup primer, and then I'll put the little glow on, maybe a little bit of concealer, and then I'll do some mascara and then some blush or bronzer. Like, that's it. Like, that's what I put on because I just don't want to spend any more time doing my makeup. As far as hair products, I do tend to switch around my shampoos and conditioners because I found that my hair just likes it when I change things up. And I'll tell you another secret. My hair has a mind of its own. And I've had a very tumultuous relationship with my hair low these many years. Really, my hair is just a pain. I envy all of you people who have this precious hair where you can wake up and put it back. And oh, it's precious. No, I haven't washed my hair in 3 days. Well, I don't have that kind of hair. So I use a number of different, I kind of switch things around. I vary between Mop is a company whose shampoo and conditioner I've used. Unite is another one. I think they're both European. 100% Pure. And I've also used Aveda, and I'm going to get back to Aveda in a bit, for my shampoo and conditioner. I don't wash my hair every day, not with shampoo, but I do condition my hair every day, right? So I shower every day, and now, okay, I shower every day and I condition every day, but I don't wash my hair necessarily with shampoo every day. You know, we don't work in the coal mines, so it's not like I have to scrub my hair clean every day. And there are natural oils you want your hair to be able to come out. But condition, I need to condition every day. I blow dry my hair. My hair takes longer to do than my makeup, and I just regret it. But if I didn't do my hair like this, it would just be a nightmare. So I do blow dry my hair. I have to blow out my hair. I have to blow it out with a brush and blow it out. And then I put little things in it. Like, I put Arbonne has a hair serum that I use, and I put that in my hair, and that just kind of calms everything down. And then I blow it out, and then I sometimes like use a curling iron to just make it just final. I used to use, after I was done, I used to use a product called Texture Twist by Pureology. My husband and I both use this. It just keeps everything in place without being goopy. But Pureology was bought by L'Oreal, and they canceled Texture Twist anyway. So we're on the lookout for the perfect alternative. We've found one made by Lush, which is another awesome cruelty-free company. So now whenever you see my husband's awesome hair, because he's got awesome hair, now you know what he uses. And then at the end, I do use the slightest hairspray. I've used Aveda's hairspray for years, and Paul Mitchell also has a really nice one, also cruelty-free. It's called their finishing spray. I only use it to just kind of keep things in place. I don't like hairspray where you feel like it's you're wearing hairspray. So, and I grew up in New Jersey where people used to use... I'm not kidding. Now, I had big hair in high school, I'll admit it, but not because I did what a lot of girls did that I would witness in the bathroom. They would literally hold up the entire front of their hair and then tease it with a comb and then spray just hairnet. And I know it's a cliche and it's a stereotype, but it's true. I've seen it. Now, I had big hair. I did, because I also have always had a lot of hair, but I also had, I had a perm when I was in... in high school. I can't believe I'm telling you this. But I also had, like, you know, it was like shorter in the front and longer in the back. It wasn't like a mullet, but it was just, you know, shorter on the top. So it was bigger in that sense. But, and I did use hair. I'm sure I used hairnet or whatever it was called. Aquanet. That's what it was called. Not hairnet. Whatever. It's been many years. So I did do that. But I didn't do what these girls did. It was so hilarious. It's just hilarious. So I don't like hairspray. I only use the tiniest bit just to kind of keep things in place. And I'll tell you, this trauma with my hair, it really took me a long time to really accept my hair. My mother even had such a hard time with my hair. I'll tell you another secret, all these secrets. My mother chopped my hair off when I was a little girl. And I looked like a little boy, and there's nothing wrong with little boys or little girls looking like little boys. I didn't want to look like a little boy. I wanted to look like a little girl. And my sister had like perfect, silky, straight hair. And I had this, you know, had a lot of hair. It was very wavy. It was big, and it grows just outward. And my mother chopped it off, but not in a very good way. Like, it wasn't cute. I didn't look like I had a cute little pixie. I looked like a boy who had a bad haircut. So I'm still recovering from that. It's taken a long time to be able to manage my hair. So I kind of now sympathize with my mother a little bit. And I even chopped my hair off when I was an adult. So you'll find pictures of me with very short hair. I just didn't know what to do with it. So it's taken a long time to accept my hair. And so my products are very important to me. And that routine is very important to me. But there's like a million things I'd rather be doing than doing my hair. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not a girly girl. I'm just not. I'd rather be, you know, working than doing my hair, but I have to do it. One resource that you'll want to know about is Vegan Cuts. They offer a beauty box every month. So they have this like monthly subscription where you get a beauty box every month. And it's a great way to just dip in and try a lot of small samples of different products without spending a lot of money on different products and not liking them. That's how I discovered LOV, for instance. So I'm an affiliate for Vegan Cuts. If you do sign up, I would encourage you to go to joyfulvegan.com and go to the, you'll see it there, Vegan Cuts as one of the graphics. And you can sign up for their beauty box, and then I get like the tiniest cut. But at least if y'all did it, then it helps. It's all good. So use the link on my website to go and sign up for Vegan Cuts Beauty Box. It's a great way to try different products. So I hope that helps, Sarah. That's just my routine. Like I said, I'm not a girly girl. I'm not a beauty queen, but I know there are a ton of vegan bloggers out there doing and trying a lot of different beauty products. And I think you'll probably have good luck finding something that's going to work for you. But I hope that helps. On a somewhat related note, clearly you can see the theme in this episode, I have a call from Jasmine. So let me just get right to Jasmine's call.
Hi, Jasmine. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. What's your question?
My question is actually about traveling. And when you go to stay in hotels or other people's homes, knowing that the personal care products like shampoo and conditioner and soap may contain animal products. Do you always bring your own, or do you sort of just say, while I'm away, it's kind of tough to travel with all of that extra weight and just to use whatever's available?
That is such a great question. I've never had that question before. Yeah, you know, I tend to travel with, I have very picky hair, so I tend to travel with my own hair products, so my own conditioner and that kind of thing, and you know, definitely any kind of styling products that I use. But there are times when I go to a hotel or friend's house and I don't bring something. And frankly, for the most part, I'm usually, I mean, maybe it's just because of the circles I travel in, or I don't know. I mean, I'm finding that more and more hotels or friends are certainly having cruelty-free products. I mean, there's a difference between something that has an animal product in it and something that is, say, tested on animals, for instance. I mean, by the time it's a product that is tested on the animal, I mean, I'm not saying I endorse that at all, but it's at that point, it you know, for me, I don't want to buy anything. I don't want to spend my money. I don't want to endorse it in any way that, you know, through my money, something that's been tested on animals. But if it's some kind of whatever cleaning solution or what have you that I know is from a company that tests on animals, at that point, I'm not making a difference by not using it, honestly.
Right.
But as far as something that has an animal product in it, yeah, that's a little different because I don't want to put that on my body at all. So I tend to find that most places don't have shampoos or conditioners that have animal products in them. If anything, it would be the issue of the products that are from companies that do test on animals. But yeah, that's kind of the, you know, we do the best we can in this world. And if it makes you more comfortable to bring your own things, I mean, I really do travel a lot. And so I invest in a couple travel size bottles that I fill up with my products before I go. So I'm kind of a savvy traveler, and I make sure that I'm never stopped through the security line because I don't want to have to deal with the delays at all. So I make sure that I have the right size little bottles and I just fill them with my own products. And I think that's just the easiest way to deal with it.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good idea. And then that way you know that you're not actually partaking in this cycle of cruelty by, you know, using something that may have animal products in it. And I don't know how much you know about this, but as far as I understood, unless it says contains no animal products on the product itself, that there is quite a chance of the glycerin in the shampoo containing animal products.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, again, it's a great opportunity for advocacy. I mean, I always crack up when, I don't say crack up because I don't mean to sound cynical about it, but when I go to hotels or even bed and breakfast and they have a little note that says, we're saving the environment, hang your towels up if you don't want us to wash them so we can save some water. And I think that's great. But to me, that's like changing a light bulb because then they're serving some animal products in their kitchen or in their restaurant. So it's kind of one of those easy things that hotels do to make them feel better about themselves when in the end they're using way more water and way more resources by serving animal products. So it's a great opportunity to talk to the proprietor and say, hey, you know, you clearly care. You've got a note up that says you want to save some water and you're encouraging people to use their towels more than once. Fantastic. Did you know that the products you're buying are tested on animals? Do you know that the things that you're serving are using a lot of resources? I mean, it's a great opportunity for a follow-up letter when you leave.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for thoughtful answer.
Thank you, Jasmine. Take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
So thank you again, Jasmine, for your call. Quite a few issues came up from Jasmine's call, and I want to address some of them here. And to do so, let me talk a little bit about personal care products and the history of animal testing for these products, for products that fall under the cosmetics label. Before I do, let me just remind you again of our wonderful compassionate business partners, Beauty Without Cruelty, beautywithoutcruelty.com, the first brand to make cruelty-free, no animal testing an issue, starting in 1963. They have hair, skin, facial, body care products, as well as an extensive range of color cosmetics. You get 20% off for a limited time, so go to joyfulvegan.com for the discount code. And thank you, Karen Cunningham from Arbon, karencunningham.myarbon.com. And Arbon is ARBONNE.com if you don't know that. Arbon offers 400 botanically based skin, health, and wellness products from sustainable sources, combining the best of green science with the finest botanicals. And it's been offering vegan certified products since 1975. Now, as you probably know, the illegal practice of experimenting on animals goes probably as far back as there have been sadistic people. And they're just too gruesome and hideous to even think about. But in terms of legal testing on animals for cosmetics and personal care products, it's relatively new, beginning in the early part of the 20th century. This is the legal testing I'm talking about, legal testing on animals for cosmetics and personal care products. It started with an incident where a woman used some mascara that left her eyes burning and eventually blinding her. And as a result, the United States Food and Drug Administration, FDA, passed the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act in 1938. The fight to end animal testing reached new heights in 1980. When activist Henry Spira, as part of the organization he founded, Animal Rights International, put out a full-page ad in the New York Times in 1980, as I said, targeting Revlon specifically and featuring a rabbit with plaster, like sticking plaster, over the eyes of the rabbit, with the caption that read, "How many rabbits does Revlon blind for beauty's sake?" The ripple effects of this campaign were unbelievable. And within a year, Revlon donated $750,000 to a fund to investigate alternatives to animal testing. Now, I've mentioned this book before, probably a long time ago, but to read all about Henry Spira and his advocacy, I recommend reading Peter Singer's book, Ethics into Action. And I also noticed that Peter Singer also made a documentary about Henry Spira, which I haven't watched yet, but I'm anxious to watch. You can watch it for free on YouTube, and it's called One Man's Way. So this is all about Henry Spira. He had many campaigns, many successful campaigns. This particular one was against Revlon and other cosmetic companies, and it was a huge success. And for decades, Revlon touted its cruelty-free policy, and people knew Revlon as a cruelty-free company, which was great. But sadly, things have changed. Unfortunately, for years, they've been selling their products in China, where animal tests are required for cosmetics. So in that way, they have been paying for animal tests to take place. And even more sadly, Revlon is not the only cosmetics brand paying for animal testing in countries where it is required. Mary Kay, Avon, Estee Lauder, and its companies MAC Cosmetics and Clinique, they also sell to China, which means they pay for animal tests. Now, they don't test, they may not test here in the United States, but they're paying for animal tests, period. Now, just to give you the big picture in terms of countries and laws around animal testing on animals for cosmetics, in a huge victory for animals, as of March 2013, the European Union, the EU, banned the sale of any cosmetics or cosmetic ingredients that have been tested on animals. This marketing ban means that companies all around the world will have to abandon animal testing for cosmetics if they want to sell in the European Union. It's the opposite in regards to China. China requires that all cosmetics produced outside of the country be tested on animals. Therefore, cosmetics companies selling products in China are not cruelty-free. Brazil also requires that some, but not all, cosmetics be tested on animals. Israel has banned cosmetics testing on animals. And according to the Humane Society of the United States, they've been working, HSUS has been working for months with government and other officials in India. The Drugs Controller General of India has suspended all tests on animals for cosmetics until non-animal methods are accepted. And the government is considering a permanent ban. So we've got India working on a potential permanent ban. Go check out hsus.org for the work they're doing around ending cosmetics testing, even in the United States. They have a bill that's in Congress right now that we need to get sponsored and supported and passed through Congress, and then, you know, get the president to sign it, to have a ban of cosmetics testing on animals, period. So go to hsus.org for that. But we're talking about India, who's potentially could ban cosmetics testing, Israel, who's banned it altogether. Unfortunately, in the United States, things are quite different. Although animal experiments for cosmetics are not mandatory, they continue, even though non-animal tests are widely available. Now, many companies distinguish themselves as being cruelty-free. That's how they distinguish themselves in the marketplace, by calling themselves cruelty-free or saying no animal testing on their label. So as Jasmine alluded to in her call, does that mean that a company that doesn't say these things on their label, are they testing on animals? Well, yes, it could mean that, but it's not 100%. So I would contact the company to ask. And in addition, you can look for the Leaping Bunny Logo, I know you've all seen this. It's a universal symbol now to ensure that the company is definitely not testing on animals or their ingredients or their final product, and that they're not contracting other companies to test, as in the case where companies are selling to China and thus paying for animal testing. So if you see the Leaping Bunny logo, you can be sure that that company's product that you're holding, that product has not been tested on animals, the ingredients in that product has not been tested on animals, and they're not contracting other companies to test on animals. Okay, so you can know that for sure with the Leaping Bunny label. However, the Leaping Bunny program was devised to make public information that is not disclosed to the consumer, specifically about animal testing. But just because it has the Leaping Bunny doesn't mean there aren't animal products in the product. Okay, so many products that have the Leaping Bunny are also vegan in the sense that they don't have any animal products in them. And so they're 100% cruelty-free. But unless it says that, unless it says 100% cruelty-free, it has the Leaping Bunny, it says vegan, or it says no animal products and no animal testing, right, along with the Leaping Bunny, you'll want to just check the ingredients. The Leaping Bunny is meant to be able to look at a label and go, oh, that logo, I recognize that logo. That means there's no animal testing at all. But there might be ingredients, and so you can look at the ingredients. And then to Jasmine's point, does that mean that there are animal products in a product if it doesn't say there aren't, right? So yes, but that's also not 100%. Look for vegan, look for contains no animal products, look for the V symbol, or read the ingredients yourself. Contact the company if it's a product you love and you want to know for sure, and then live your life. Do the best you can. That's all we can do. I clearly cannot say this enough. And that's what I was saying to Jasmine. Like, if I'm in a hotel and I forgot my shampoo and conditioner and I need to condition my hair because I want to look decent when I go out in the world to represent, I'm going to use a product. If I don't know the parent company or the... I'm going to use the product. I mean, the alternative is to not use the product and not feel good and not look good and not represent. I mean, right? So, I mean, we're just trying to do the best we can here, folks. So let's just do the best we can. Support vegan and cruelty-free companies like Arbonne, like Beauty Without Cruelty. Do your best to read labels. But as I've said a million times before, if we get weighed down in the purity of being vegan, we're missing the whole point. That's not to say that I'm not looking at labels. I don't want to support companies that are testing on animals. I'm also going to support the organizations who are making sure this is not happening, like supporting, you know, AAVS, who we've talked about, the American Anti-Vivisection Society, like supporting organizations like the organization behind Leaping Bunny. I'm so grateful for these organizations, for these consumer advocates, or in this case, the animal advocates, who are doing the work for us, making sure that we can buy cruelty-free products in the marketplace. And then at times we're going to have to just figure out where this line is for us. One example is Aveda. I have been using Aveda for years. They're an amazing company. They do amazing work. Their products are fantastic and they're accessible. Aveda is sold in many, many salons in every city around the world. So I've been using them for years. I've tried a number of different shampoos and conditioners. And as I said, I do use Unite and Mop and 100% Pure and Arbonne. And Aveda, I love Aveda. I just love their products. Because I can't pay attention to every single detail of every business acquisition, I didn't even realize that they were acquired by Estee Lauder until recently. Now, they were acquired in 1997, but it's kind of come up a lot more recently. And I think it's because of what I'm going to tell you about, because we discovered what Estee Lauder was doing. Now, Estee Lauder is a company whose policy is to not test on animals, their final products, or their ingredients, except, and I quote them, in countries where it's required by law. As far as I understand it, Aveda has retained their independence in terms of not having animal products in their products, but also in terms of animal testing. They've retained their independence. Aveda does not test on animals. Aveda does not sell to China, but they're owned by Estee Lauder, which doesn't test on animals as a policy in the US, but they're paying for it in other countries where it's required, such as China. Estee Lauder is selling in China. Aveda is not selling in China. So this is one of those, where do you draw the line? Aveda doesn't sell their products in China, but their parent company does. I don't like that Aveda now on their website says, or when you ask them, we don't test except we're required by law. I'd rather them come right out and say, because they come out and say they're not selling to China, and I believe that, but in what countries is it required by law? I think they have to say this for legal reasons, but until I know for sure, I've lost my confidence in Aveda. And that's just really sad because I love their products. So, you know, there are plenty of other products out there and whatever, I'll survive. But it's tough. And I want to make this point because I buy Body Shop products and I believe in their cruelty-free policies. They don't test on animals. Only a few of their products contain beeswax or honey, but everything else is vegan. And they even recently changed all of their brushes. So all of their makeup brushes are synthetic, no animal hair. But they're owned by L'Oreal Paris. L'Oreal Paris does not test on animals, but L'Oreal sells to China, which means they're paying for animal tests. So it's the same thing. So do I not support the Body Shop because of who their parent company is, even though the Body Shop is definitely not testing on animals and it's committed to animal-free products? Here's another example. I love Millennium Restaurant in San Francisco. Their food is 100% vegan. Only a small percentage of their investors, their owners, are vegan. That's Larry and Ann Wheat. They're the founders of Millennium, but they're not 100% owners in Millennium. There are other investors who are not vegan. Eric Tucker, who's the executive chef, is not vegan. There are plenty of servers at Millennium who are not vegan. And so technically, I'm putting money into the pockets of people who will not make the same purchasing decisions as I will with the money that I give them. And yes, with those decisions, they're going to perpetuate and subsidize violence against animals. So should I not go to Millennium? Should I protest their investors to become vegan? Well, I mean, I can talk to them. I'd love to talk to them. Should I not tip that server because that server might not be vegan? I mean, where do you draw the line? I support cruelty-free and vegan companies as much as I am humanly able. But sometimes we simply can't follow all the money. And we may simply wind up supporting something we don't believe in or giving money to a non-vegan who's going to go buy non-vegan products, right? It's hard sometimes. And am I being a bad vegan by saying we can only do the best we can? I don't think so, because being vegan, by definition, is not about being perfect. It's not about being pure. It's not about reaching some kind of certification of purity. It's about doing the best we can to not contribute to violence against animals. And there is so much we can do, including helping to change policies and as much as possible supporting companies like Beauty Without Cruelty and Arbonne. So when we can make those choices, let's do so. But being vegan, in my opinion, it's also not about living in fear and deprivation and joylessness that we get so bogged down spending all our time obsessing about co-owners and parent owners and if that server's vegan, right? Let's strive to be conscious and conscientious and mindful and thoughtful and compassionate while also being joyful and reasonable and realistic and committed to doing the best we can. On that note, I've heard some people say that, well, it's easy for a company to call themselves cruelty-free and to boast that they don't test on animals, but are in fact reusing existing data, test data obtained from previous animal tests. So, okay, many of our current systems and products were built on the backs of victims of despicable practices and companies and policies, right? But I don't understand what that even suggests. Like, reject everything? Reject everything. I mean, I live in California, which was first settled by various Native American tribes who were then essentially exterminated by Europeans. The neighborhood I live in had a creek running through it, and now it's paved over, and there are no more Native Americans here. They lived right here in this community that I live in now. Should I what? I don't know. We can't undo the past, right? It's done. Same thing with the information we have today about medicine or safety that came from horrific animal tests, it's done. It doesn't take away the horror of the past, but the answer isn't to pretend it didn't happen. We can never forget what happened. We can never forget what we did. The answer isn't to forget. The answer is to learn from what we did so we never make that mistake again. I'm mindful of who I am and where I live and what was here before. And I live a life to not contribute to exploitation of anybody. I do my best, right? And that includes human and non-human animals. And that's what we need to do in our lives. If we learned from something that came from horror and then look in the direction of doing it differently in the future, okay, then let's look forward and not dwell on the past. So I hope that makes sense to all of you. It makes sense to me. We have so many options and we can do so much to reflect a compassionate, joyful way of living. And I'm so heartened by everyone who is just trying to do the right thing. And if we keep making this our mantra, then we will continue to convince companies to make the right decisions. Go support the organizations, or at least the bills that are trying to be passed. Take 15 minutes a day to call your representatives to pass the bill to make it illegal to test on animals altogether. Let's spend 15 minutes a day doing that. There are a lot of things we can do on a daily basis, including spending money at places like Beauty Without Cruelty and Arbonne, so that we can continue, you know, making the best decisions possible, and they can keep doing their work to create cruelty-free products. So thank you to Beauty Without Cruelty and Arbonne for your support, for bringing compassion and beauty into this world. And thank you to all of you listeners, and all of you patrons. If you liked what you heard today, please support this podcast and receive the transcript as a benefit. I'll actually include a couple more things, including links in the transcript. So go to patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGaudreau for the animals. This is Colleen Patrick Gaudreau. Thanks for listening.